Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear friends, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. It is Friday. We are looking ahead to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We're just talking about it. Sad. Down to 8 teams, down to 4 teams after this weekend. And then what? I understand it just gets lower and lower and lower until it just fractions, right? It's one team, then a half, then a quarter of a team, then an eighth. I don't know. I'm not a carpenter.
Yeah, but no. At a certain point, they put 5 guys out there for one team. It's crazy.
This is sad. It does, in a way, it seems like a long season, and yet how could it end? It's so joyous. Keep it going, right, Dave?
I can't believe it's all over, and I'm worried, too. I've already, first of all, yes, be fully in the moment, as they say. Don't get caught looking ahead or anything else, because if you look ahead, you're going to realize that football is all behind you in the rearview mirror. We have just 4 games left. This is the only weekend that feels semi-normal, and then after this, you have 3 total football games remaining. It's heartbreaking stuff. Let's not get caught looking under the horizon. Let's focus.
I was saying,
on the
I get depressed in different stages with the football season. I think like 4 different stages. Number one, when my team is eliminated, the Dallas Cowboys, which usually comes around Thanksgiving or before. Second, which is about the same time as when my fantasy team is eliminated. That's sad too. Third is the conference finals, because you can't make a 3-team teaser. You can if you use the over-under, but there's only 2 teams unless you go the same side in each two sides in the same game. That's third. And then fourth after the Super Bowl. Very sad. I'm almost always upset with the result, no matter even if I had money on it, because it means the end. I know, I'm a crazy person.
The first weekend without football is like this weird void where you can't remember what you ever did before football. And then you're like, well, and then you kind of figure it out, but you never really figure it out. And so it's a huge relief when football comes back.
Yeah, I no jive. I mean, I like hockey. I like basketball, both collegiate and professional. But that adjustment, I'm in the midst of it even now. And it feels like, you feel that weird pain in your belly of like, I don't know if I'm ready to go all in on it. Football's better, but I'll make the switch. I'll get there within a fortnight, fully on board with the puck and the round ball. But for now, I'm kind of like, do I really have time to devote emotionally and otherwise to the Pittsburgh Penguins and my teams?
I have
right
a
now
theory. I don't know about that. Is that I think for me, football is so great because not only because the sport is so fun, but because it is on, there is given nights that I know there will be football and I know what the program is. And then Sunday is dedicated to it. I think every sport should have that. I think every sport should have, like, basketball only plays on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then Saturday is full of games.
Interesting. I wonder if Kyrie would be more interested in playing if he knew it was only twice a week or something like that. Something.
Hear me now, believe me later. In fact, Charlotte, it's about to go the other way. As soon as pro football season 2021, there will be Tuesday night games.
Yeah, well, they've floated it and it works.
That's so much football.
I don't know that they can do that the same year. They force a 17th game into the schedule and say, oh, yeah, you know what? You're going to Tuesday to Sunday, too. You're going to get something with 4 days rest. But yeah,
it's coming, though. It's coming soon. You mentioned teasers, Sal. There's some good teasers out there on these 4 divisional round games. At least 3 games I've circled. Self-contained within each game, there are 3 really good teasers out there.
We're going to get to all of them because there's only 4. So why not hit all of them? But first, I need to plug my book. You know, my publisher, Sean, is saying, hey, you don't mention your damn book that's coming out in 10 days. I was like, well, this is my method. Okay, a lot of people, it's all over the top promotion. I don't want to say anything. It keeps you thinking like, oh, what's this guy hiding? I'm going to order 4 or 5 books. from this book that he never mentions. But so, anyway, what I'm going about it the wrong way, Charlotte. I don't know.
No, you're galaxy braining yourself.
I guess so.
Like you've gone full. You've been online way too much to the point where you're starting to believe maybe there's a chance if you say nothing, the book will do better.
That might be it. It's also the thing where, well, listen, wait till football's over. We have too much to discuss this dumb book, and they're like, no, it's coming out the week before the Super Bowl.
I can't wait. I pre-ordered it, so it better be showing up soon.
I really appreciate that. It does come out January 26th, but it is available, as Charlotte said, for pre-order. What the hell's the name of it? You Can't Lose Them All. Available on Amazon and what's the other one? Barnes & Noble. Go look it up. It's about my gambling history. And not, Dave, it's not like a, you know, I think Matthew Berry puts out a fantasy football guide and this is what you do. This is basically, hey, stay away from this, this, and this. And these 40 stories of devastation will show you that, not that gambling doesn't pay, but just to go about it a different way.
So. Yeah. And also, yeah, it's, unfortunately, Sal's led a bland life filled with with vanilla characters throughout.
Yes, that's right.
Speaking of that, what you should do is, speaking of vanilla characters, a vanilla ice cream character. Maybe you should do a guerrilla campaign with a literal gorilla and have Harry go out in a sign and stand on the street corner to promote your book.
Ooh, consider I like it. That.
Consider like it. That. Guerrilla again, marketing.
Again, you could also might not work, but yeah, all right. Yeah, Charlotte?
You could get one of those tube men that they put out in front of car dealerships with your book title on it so that people have to wait for a while until it stands up straight enough by chance to read what the title is and they'll never forget it.
Yes, I like that. That's good too. Or maybe I just get like I pay like a homeless person to dress as the Statue of Liberty in front of some tax store and just holding my book up.
That's
I don't
it.
Know. See, I'm not
That's
good.
The answer.
I have no idea. I don't know what I'm doing here, but we do know what we're doing. Oh, I thought we did with our extra points for extra pay parlay. Now we had a winner 2 weeks ago and it was so easy, right? It was the college football semifinals and we had an over under in there. It was boom, boom, boom. Not even close. You probably had to watch 20 minutes of any of those games we won. The week before, we got screwed over in that Raiders-Dolphins game. Big time. Big time, big time. We had the under. They had Dave. They had no business scoring like 24 points in the last 3.5 minutes. We got screwed. Last week, I feel like we got screwed. We went 2 out of 3 also. With the Bears, many, many chances to cover. Not the least of which was the 2-point conversion that was not attempted at the end. Anyway, I'll take the blame for that. 2 out of 3. But let's bounce back here. Our extra points for extra pay parlay. We're going 3.
I mean, who
was
by the way? I agree. We should go 3 for 3 here. But boy, you really blew past that that Bears one as though it was just like it was a trio of brains on it. And like
I know.
Like it was. Yeah. I mean, like yeah, Charlotte, Dave, and Sal. Like who could have seen that Bears one coming?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You blew it!
I didn't blow it! Friggin' Wims, or whatever his name, dropped the easiest touchdown in the history of football, and he's the one who blew it. We only needed another half.
I know. I'm just mad because you talked me into the Bears, because I was like, what are you talking
I'm
about?
Sorry.
And then I was like, you know what? He's right. They are the Bears are going to be able to. That's too big a number.
Stupid.
And so then I went with you. And now I feel
you galaxy brained us on that one because I was like, this feels like a bad choice. And then I was like, but if Sal's picking it, maybe it's a good choice.
You know what? I've had good luck with underdogs and I'm going to bounce back with another one. And it might be a spite pick because I'm going against the Saints again. But I green slimed all of us in that Bears Saints game. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should get the lion's share of the slime. But here it is. Our extra points for extra pay parlay. I am going with the Bucks. FanDuel boost the number to 4.5. They boost the odds as well. I will get to that in a second. Bucks plus 4.5. Now listen to me. If Tom Brady loses this game by more than a touchdown, this is going to go down as one of the biggest embarrassments of his career. Already blown out twice by the Saints. Most memorably, that Sunday night game, they were never in it. Would they have a field goal? But since losing that Week 9 game, 35 points per game, second in the league, 430 yards per game, first in the league, number one rushing yards allowed. Sorry, Alvin Kamara, I know you'll catch that outlet pass and do some damage there. You're not going to have a big game on the ground. The Saints are 3-8 against the spread as a favorite. We know they got their cover last week. It ain't happening again. I am going with Tampa plus 4.5. Let them lose by a field goal, Charlotte. Everyone's happy. Tampa's eliminated from the playoffs. You could rejoice, but we will get our plus 4.5. We'll get our win. Charlotte, what is your pick?
Sal, I like that pick. I think that's as close to a lock as we're going to get. Dave thinks this is a bit of a risk, but I am taking the Browns at plus 11.5 because I think they can keep it that close with the Chiefs. The Browns have an explosive offense. The Honey Badger said it's like a double-headed monster of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I think that if the Chiefs are going to win by more than 11.5, they're going to have to score like 50 points. And I don't see it going that way. So even if the Browns lose, we're still going to be okay here is what I'm banking on.
All right, Dave, come on. 3 for 3. Let's do it.
I'm not wearing it. I'm saying Jeff Schwartz, whose younger brother is on the Chiefs, thinks the Chiefs are going to whip up on the Browns. My opinion isn't important here. Now, my opinion on another game is semi-relevant here. I'd love to see the Buffalo Bills, a.k.a. America's Team 2020, win the Super Bowl. What my brain tells me, though, is that the Ravens are going to take care of business. We had on -3 Eric Wood, late of the Buffalo Bills. Come on, pick the Bills, but also go on and on about the greatness of the Ravens defense. I've been talking about it now for the better part of 2 months. It's gotten right at just the right time. And Lamar Jackson and company, they found their soul last week, down 10 points. They tried to throw the deep ball to shoot their way back into things through the air. That's not the way they do it. They do it via the ground. I think that against that Bills defense, which can be had on the ground a little bit, one, and two, like I say, the best defense left in these playoffs, the Ravens defense, takes care of business. I'm sorry, Western New York. The Ravens advance. I like them to win straight up.
So there you go. Our extra points for extra pay parlay. Bucks plus 4.5. Browns plus 11.5. Ravens plus 3.5.
Good luck, Charlotte.
FanDuel boosts the points. They boost the odds. This was originally worth plus 400. Now up to plus 470. Go get it. FanDuel.com/extra points. All right. I'm excited
Thanks,
to talk
Dave.
About these games now. It starts, kicks off Saturday. What is that? Like 4:35 Eastern time? Rams
4:35 Eastern.
All right, so we can go to the park with the kids. I don't know what the hell we're even allowed to do anymore outside.
It's 88 degrees out here today, Sal.
Out here? Oh, in L.A. Yeah, I know. There's a lot.
88 degrees.
Now, what is it?
It is not that warm here.
In Green Bay, in Lambeau, they say it's going to be about 35 degrees, and they really want to shove that stat, what Jared Goff is like 1-4 in sub-freezing temperatures, but they're not actually getting to the freezing mark. So they really, you can play with that stat all you want. So anyway, FanDuel has the Packers favored by 6.5. They have the over-under at 45.5. None of us use this for our extra points for extra pay parlay. McVay is committing to Goff. I have a problem this late in the playoffs picking an inferior quarterback when the line is less than 7. And especially when the superior quarterback is expected to win the MVP award and he's spotting the inferior quarterback a thumb. So I get it. We could buy into Jalen Ramsey is going to lock down Devontae Adams. We can buy into Aaron Donald is going to cause a fit for Aaron Rodgers. But I like the Packers here. I think it's you still have to score points if you're the Rams. I don't agree that Cam Akers is going to go nuts against this run defense of the Packers. I'm taking Green Bay. Dave, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned good teasers. I did too. I mean, I love the Packers. If you tease the Packers down to 0.5 and go with the under at 51.5, that feels awfully good to me. I know people keep leaning on that, but it does matter that Jared Goff has not shown up in chilly weather. And, you know, it's not a small matter, too, that it's kind of clear that his head coach, the guy who's been in his ear for the last several years, wanted to go with John Wolford. I mean, I think that's a pretty
right.
Clear. I don't think we're speculating or conspiracy theorists to say that there's a rift there between what McVay thinks Goff is capable of doing. And that can't really imbue the kid with much confidence as he rolls into Lambeau. Yeah, give me the Packers. And I do think, though, like we keep talking about, that Rams defense is this season's potential knuckleball, that the defense, like the 2017 Jags and the 2000 Ravens and otherwise, is almost good enough to maybe steal their way to a title game or maybe even a Super Bowl. But they can't win the whole thing, but they could ruin a glorious season for the
Packers. They're going to ruin your teaser you just boasted about.
I'm taking the Packers -6.5, but that defense does legitimately scare me.
Let me just talk about the Packers defense. You want to compare both defenses since week 12. Rams 17.7 points per game allowed. Packers 18.5. Packers 6 interceptions. Rams 5. Passer rating allowed. Packers 75.3. Rams 82.5. So that might be what we're overlooking here. The Packers defense. And do the Rams get to 17, 20 points, which I think is a must, Charlotte, for them to be in this game?
Yeah, this seems like it could be a trap game to me, honestly. I'm nervous about this. I think you're right in terms of everything we're saying. I think that if Rodgers loses this to Goff without one of his thumbs, that would be a little insane. I don't think Goff looked good last week. He probably shouldn't even be playing. Are they going to activate Bortles? Probably not. Is Wolford better? Is he even available as a backup right now?
No. I mean, no, he's not. He's inactive.
So
right?
Bortles
has to be. Yeah, they have to. So, there should be four quarterbacks activated here.
Yeah, I feel like on paper it seems ridiculous, but then I think about the come apart that Rodgers had against the Bucks, and it makes me a little nervous that, I mean, maybe I'm just paranoid. So yeah, I think that the Packers are not definitely going to do it, but that's what makes sense. But I can't help but be a little worried, because I think McVay is a good enough coach that against those Seahawks, they, you know, with half a quarterback, they still managed to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Here's something for the Rams, Charlotte. Underdogs of 5 to 7 points in divisional round. Last nine instances, 7-2 against the spread. Against the spread, at least, which indicates the Rams could keep this close. But yeah. Rodgers, I don't know. You're going, what are you doing?
You're going against the
MVP.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I would be super bummed if he didn't, but I wouldn't be shocked if that were the upset.
Yeah, right. Please go away. That's it. I'm sorry, Rams. Go away.
Right.
We can't have you. We only have so many games left. We can't waste them on you. We need a Lambeau NFC title game, and we need it to be one of the olds coming in there to play Aaron Rodgers. It's too juicy. No one wants to talk about another one of these knuckleball defenses stealing games like that. It's not fun. But to Charlotte's point, and Sal, like you say, got to get 17 to 20 points. That, I mean, like, that sounds like, well, that's not enough. All of a sudden, you get a defensive touchdown if you're the Rams, and then Jared Goff, you know, somehow gets one more score across the goal line. One more. All of a sudden, the neck starts getting tight. The clock doesn't have enough seconds left on it. The whole season feels like it's burning away. Teams start getting desperate. This is the whole effect of the playoffs, of that these teams do, of the pressure that goes on the favorite. I'm very worried about this.
So
don't
the
ruin
Packers
this,
have
Packers.
To avoid the pick six from Russell Wilson threw last week, the first of the kind of its kind this year, where the D-back split the defenders and just took it and ran on a screen pass. So that's it. Right. Get out, get off early, and they'll be in decent shape. The Packers, and you're right. That's Charlotte. I love your 55-1 odds bet on the Browns defeating the Packers in the Super Bowl. But the Browns and the Rams are the two teams that could screw this up. We get any matchup we want next week, as long as those two teams are gone. And in the Super Bowl, we're fine. Right. So just be gone this week. Now,
really, really? You don't want the Browns that badly?
I don't know. I've seen enough. It's a good enough story. We're in gravy time right now with the Browns. Dave wants to see them keep winning.
Here are the things. Well, because go AFC North. I love seeing it boosts
gotta do
the
it.
Division. Weirdos who think that way. I was just on Chris Long's show to plug that, and he had me on to talk about those kind of like, what would be the most satisfying, whose fan base benefits the most if they were to run the table and all that. And I do like to think about those Monday narratives coming out of this thing. And if it were Browns at Bills, these two long-suffering fan bases, that's fantastic. If it's imagine this, and it's not completely implausible. You could have Browns at Ravens. And after the dandy game that we had, whatever it was, about a month ago between the Browns and Ravens, that wouldn't be bad with a trip to the Super Bowl. The former Browns are playing in Baltimore right now. And so that narrative would be awfully fun from
I don't know,
you know,
why
Rust
you're
Belt
talking about this is awfully fun. This is your nightmare. And I was just brought this up, I was just going to recommend that you go to FanDuel right now and bet a two-team moneyline parlay with the Ravens and Browns. Because you could you imagine the once 11-0 Steelers and their fans staring at the Ravens Browns as the AFC championship game? You'll lose your mind.
It's I love the AFC North. It makes us look good.
You don't think
Pittsburgh would implode. The rivers would run red.
Oh, what would happen to the Primanti sandwiches? The French fries would be separated from the bread. It would be, what would
God.
We do? 10-1 odds, Dave, on that parlay. That's what they call a happiness hedge right there. 10-1
I do love these kind of, think about what we could be talking about in a couple of days. If it's Mahomes hosting Josh Allen, shootout, two young gunslingers for all the marbles. That's great. If it's Ravens at Chiefs, I think that's the scariest game. I do not think that the Chiefs want to see the Ravens come into town. The worst one on the other side is having to indulge like, hey, Rams and Saints, hey, time for revenge for Drew Brees after what happened 2 years ago.
Right.
That's the least compelling one to me out there. That would be a nightmare. If we get the Rams out of the way, like I keep saying, if we get Rodgers against one of those olds, give us that, football gods. Come on.
Rodgers-Brady is what everybody wants. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Ravens-Bills. Dave, you took this in your extra points for extra pay parlay. 2.5 is the line. 49 is the over-under. I was hoping FanDuel would give us 3.5 on the parlay. You know, they can only be so generous. They're giving out 25-1 odds on a pick'em game, but they can't give us the extra half point. So be it, Dave. You like the Ravens straight up. You don't need the points.
Well, like I say, Eric Wood was on and, you know, in the midst of talking about the magical season, rightly so, up there in Buffalo. The fact is that the difference is, even though the Ravens last seen were taking away Derrick Henry, much like the Titans took away Lamar Jackson and company a year ago, flipped that. Now it's the secondary that is prominent in this one. And I think they're going to be able to silence Josh Allen, but they have no ground game in Buffalo. I'm not exactly sure how they get off and keep up with Lamar Jackson and that offense. Give me the Bills, and that's a great teaser too. Ravens plus 8.5 and over 44.5. That seems like a gimme in my book.
Pretty good. I do worry about points. I guess it's not going to snow. Everything Lamar worried about with the snow. How dare
I mean, 27-20 is going to happen though, right? I mean, that's a reasonable score. This game's going over 44.5.
This is my favorite game.
If you tease it down.
Bucks Saints is second, but Charlotte Ravens Bills is first. I feel like the Bills got a bad draw. As good as they were, they had to beat the Colts, a feisty team, right? Tough win. And now instead of, playing the Steelers would have been easier, I think. Now they have the Ravens, the hot team, coming to town. What's the point of having a mafia if you can't rig these things, right?
Listen, you'd think, right? I still think the Bills can do it. I still think they're going to win. Maybe I can't decide what's a better story though, because I love Lamar Jackson and I think that everyone, it would be so great to shut people up about his, you know, by the way people talk about it, you'd think Lamar had never won, you know, had been in the league for 15 years and never won a playoff game. It's like, is what, his third season? Second season? It's third. I can't do math.
What? Lamar's been in
third season.
This is third.
Third season. Okay, so it's like, okay, well, he did win a playoff game, and I would like that narrative to keep going, but this Bills team is so fun, and, you know, the Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs all year has been, it would be so exciting to see the Bills finally do it, but this is one of those matchups where the storyline to me is, whatever happens, I think it'll be fun and exciting. Bucks Saints to me is
that's
that
your favorite?
That game is going to be awful. I think that is going to be a terrible, either Tom Brady and the Bucks are going to absolutely just destroy the Saints, or it's going to be, you know, like 7-7 by the start of the second half. And I'm going to hate it no matter what. And Tom Brady's going to win.
It's a tough watch for Pats fans. Yeah.
Well, that's fine as long as Aaron Rodgers destroys them.
Right.
And a lot of Pats fans are, again, being the bigger person, but I don't want the Bucks to win. I'm sorry.
That's no fun. Real quick, we'll finish up with the Ravens Bills here. I get what you're saying about the nicer story, the Bills fans, Bills Mafia, but with no fans or few fans, this is a team that's probably going to win the division 6 out of the next 8 years, right? So they're not done. They're not done. I'm not saying the Ravens are done either if they lose this year, but I think they have some good times to look forward to. Buffalo fans.
That's a good way to look at it. That's surprisingly optimistic for you, Sal.
Yeah, well,
you should be a broadcaster in the waning moments as the team loses. Yeah. Like, hey, this team's got nothing to hang their heads about. One, yes, they do, because they just went through 5 months of training camp and season and traveling and away from their family and everything else. I love the proclamation that this team has nothing to hang their heads about. Yeah, they do. If they aren't hanging their heads, then they're not human beings.
I'm just saying that the bigger the wins, the more they advance. In a way, the sadder it is, because they're jumping through tables in their living room and not in the parking lot where they should
be. I know, but this is why it's better for the Bills. Like, The Bills have suffered. Their fans have suffered. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost them all. Imagine That's how wild. That would mess with your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Imagine how depressive you might become. If you're a Browns fan, it's like, yeah, we're out of it most years by mid-October. They've already exceeded their wildest dreams. The Bills fans have some more meat left on that bone, but you're being overly optimistic about the Bills' future. You're sleeping on the Dolphins. Here come the Jets. Bill Belichick hasn't retired yet. So you don't know what that division's going to be, but that's fine. Sunny-eyed optimism in case the Bills lose, as they're probably
favored to win that division.
Here's what I take issue with. I get it. Mama Shar looks out for her kid QBs, and that's nice. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand the collective pseudo coddling of quarterbacks who are younger. Like, why is everybody on like Josh Allen? He has to win games. Baker Mayfield has to win games. Where's that coming? That's not fair to Lamar Jackson. He's only been in the league for so long. Yes, you're on your rookie deals. You're the star of the team. You have to win games, or else you will deal with the mounting stuff about, like, ask Tony Romo. I would love to hear. I would really love, Sal, to hear about what your guy Tony, like, how that starts to infect your brain when you hear about is, like, this guy doesn't come through in the clutch and this guy's blowing it in big spots. That starts to mount if you don't provide evidence to push back, like, hey, I won that big game on the road in the divisional round. You don't do that early in your career. You start to deal with it.
Dave, we're saying the same thing. I'm not saying they don't have to win games. I'm saying if you're talking about Lamar Jackson before that before the wild card game, saying, well, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game yet, and in a way that makes it sound like he's been in the league for that long, and then he wins one. It's like, okay, it took him 2 years to win a playoff game. That doesn't seem like an absurd thing to
me. No, not at all. Oh, no, I'm with you completely. I'm just saying that if Lamar Jackson had lost last week, if they had gotten, if he had thrown that interception as did, down 10-0, and then all of a sudden it's off the rails and they get down 17 or 20 and whatever, there would be legitimate questions right now, just like in Pittsburgh is going on right now, like, Roethlisberger, he's got to go. What are they going to do? They got to overhaul the whole thing. That was a 12-4 team. It's like, we got to wash off this Roethlisberger stink and start a whole new era. That would be happening in Baltimore right now. Like, what have we done? We've built this whole offense like this. We can't win games in January playing this kind of ball. That would be what would be happening right now. That's what happens with wins and losses. And people act like, what, unfair to these young guys. That's how it goes.
In response to Romo, and I've as much asked him this exact question, and he basically, and this is really all you kind of need to know, he basically said to me, what do you want me to tell you? It's really hard to get to the Super Bowl. Then he's right. And I think that's why in the broadcasting booth, he can't overemphasize how great the Aaron Rodgers of the world are, the Tom Brady's, and the Drew Brees to some extent. And it's hard to get to the Super Bowl. Look at all these good quarterbacks left in the semifinal round. And to do it year after year, or every other year, every third year, is insane.
I had that reaction watching the Bills last week, where I was like, I think that the Broncos game where they had that, you know, the practice squad quarterback it is so hard to be a quarterback in the NFL. Like, things move so quickly. You kind of have to be superhuman to be able to react that quickly and think that many thoughts in the span of 0.2 seconds. So when you even dragging someone like a Darnold, it's the level of competence is so, there are so few people in the world who can do that, let alone actually beat the other guys who can do that. Right. that it really is. And I know it's our job to talk about it that way, but it's still sometimes if you step back, you're like, the skill level here is really astonishing.
Well, as unfair as it was with Denver and what they did, and they made him sign a practice squad guy who played quarterback for a minute at Wake Forest. I think we did see that, Charlotte, right? That's one thing we could say, like, wow, look how hard it is to be quarterback. I
mean, there are the human exceptions that prove the rule, and they're notwithstanding. But every once in a while, Joe Flacco ends the season lifting a Lombardi trophy or Brad Johnson or someone like that. But those are anomalous. Among the really good QBs, and they're only, you know, whatever, 6 to 10 guys who really, really are driving the car and not just passengers along for the ride with the rest of their rosters. Those guys, people still get cavalier about, like, this guy, Trevor Lawrence, is going to get drafted. Like, this guy is going to win multiple Super Bowls in the league. And people keep anointing, like, Josh Allen is good enough to win multiple Super Bowls. They only give out the one Lombardi. Ergo, showing up in the playoffs is everything. And Mina Kimes and I, Mina Kimes is much smarter than I am.
Oh, Mina Kimes and I, here we go.
She argues all the time with me about this, like, QB win stuff. This pushes back at me all the time about this QB win stuff. Of course it matters if you win in the biggest spots. Of course that's what matters. You're making a lion's share of the salary cap. Of course, you better win in your rookie deal. What's remarkable is, amidst all these electric young QBs and everything else, these old men who can't move, Breeze and Brady, are in the divisional round again. How to explain that? It really is.
Well, in the back of our minds, I think we're like, well, we only have a couple years, and maybe Breeze. By the way, Breeze's birthday today, right? 42. Few years left of Breeze, Brady, Rodgers. You kind of, I know Mahomes is the star of the show here, but in a way you want to see one of those guys at least go up against him in the Super Bowl.
Or Rodgers, right. I love that. Like, those Lombardis matter when you evaluate who's the best quarterback and all that kind of stuff that you've ever seen. Just get us one of those three on the NFC side versus Mahomes, and it's juicy.
All right, let's get to Sunday. Browns and Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 10, 57. Charlotte on their extra points for extra pay parlay got the Browns at 11.5. That's sweet when you can cross that.
I think that's amazing. Not to brag, but I feel great about that.
Well, listen, 45-30 late. That could be bad case scenario for the Browns, and then they score and the Chiefs give up a touchdown there, or it could be a fun game. What I don't understand is Odell Beckham says or tweeted, "Don't be surprised if they win." Now,
wait.
He said, "Don't be surprised if they win." And
ODB tweeted that. Don't be surprised if they win.
If they win, so if they is the Chiefs, like, what? Okay, yeah, no, we won't be surprised. They're a double digit favorite. If
why
they is the Browns,
that?
Why don't you say we? I get that you're not active for this. You're injured, but we have Rachel Bonetta wears brown socks. Browns socks and says we all the time. Why can't a player on the team say we? This is bizarre. And it's amazing, though, that it makes you think we've not heard from Odell all year long.
This is the start of something juicy. This is great. I love this. This is Odell planting the seeds of without me, the Browns can't do it.
So do you think he was talking about the Chiefs? I think he's talking about his team.
I think he's talking about the Chiefs.
Why can't he freaking clarify? This is a weird thing.
Or at the very least, I think he did it purposely to make people wonder if people think he's talking about the Chiefs. I don't know. I think there's something a little bit like a little NBA-y going
on. Why would
you
say they, Dave? That's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm very concerned because this counts as trash talking. And now I fear that this is going to make the Chiefs try hard. You know, Odell is now talking stuff pregame. We can't have that in our league. We can't have it. You see, the pregame trash talk's no good. Now we've learned the postgame trash talk is untowards. I don't know what this all means. This is going to fire up the Kansas City Chiefs. That much I'm sure of.
No, you're being sarcastic.
I am being, sarcastic.
You and Juju single-handedly or double-handedly as it is ruined the Steelers' chances of any Super Bowl.
I do think it's a funny thing that Odell is, I don't know, going in 2020 of any point, he could rightly be called the biggest star in pro football. But I mean, within the last 18 months, he certainly was the most recognizable athlete in pro football. I mean, I know people maybe stateside might debate that, but there is unquestionably Odell with his soccer and everything else and his world travels is the most recognizable star on the planet among football guys, or at least he was recently. It's weird how he is just completely
this
out of mind here.
This has got to be kidding him. It's got to be killing him, right?
It is. And where does he go? Like, given this run, do you say if you're the Browns, like, oh, yeah, now we're really scary with Odell? Or it's like, hey, Odell, remember when you they'd us in January? Like,
yeah,
they want you on some other on one of the other 31 teams.
Don't they your teammates, right? I don't know. The pronouns, it's tough. But, yeah, Odell, he could always say, hey, I've been on crappy teams, right? The Giants, I've been on the Browns. I can't get a break. I need more help. No one in my situation would be able to pull this team to a winning record. And now the Browns are in the second round.
You know, Scott, what it really does prove is a recurring point that I like to make is I know it's fun to have a great wide receiver, and there are some games over the course of a regular season that wide receiver, really high-end guy, Julio Jones, Nuke Hopkins, otherwise steals a game for you or maybe three over the course of a season. But it is not an essential piece to have for a Super Bowl champ. People like to say, oh, we got to get that guy, and who's he throw? Like, it matters, but you do not need – there's no evidence in the 21st century that you have to have one of these high-end, clear-cut, dominant wide receivers to get and win a Super Bowl.
Or running back. I mean, it's weird. I don't know what you need. I guess you do need
pass rusher.
Yeah.
Good offensive line. QB, who is a high-end top 10 guy. These
for
are
the most part,
the,
right.
close to the essential items. Somebody who can turn over the other team like the Honey Badger or otherwise. Those are more important, believe it or not. I mean, the numbers will bear, or the teams will bear it out. Go through them. How many Super Bowls has Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Nuke Hopkins, Michael Thomas, whoever else you want to throw out there, how many Super Bowls have they won?
And yet you do have to have a good quarterback throwing to somebody. So it doesn't
much more important.
It's weird how it happens. All right, Bucks Saints. I put this on my extra points for extra pay parlay. Our extra points for extra pay parlay. The actual line is 3. They gave me 4.5. Thank you, FanDuel. The over-under is 52. I really do think this would be a huge, huge embarrassment for Tampa if they go out there and get crushed by the Saints. I worry, though, with my pick about the outlet pass to Kamara. I think he's 15 for 17 in targets in the two games they played. They don't seem to have an answer to that defensively. On the other hand, Tom Brady, I don't remember him being this in sync with the receiving core or pass catching core. He throws to the same 6 guys and they all seem to be open. And, you know, my big thing is the Washington front four, Maroon 4, gave him a little hell. They sacked him 3 times. They pressured him. Still came out with, in the mid-20s. I think the mid-20s is where this game is going to end for the Saints and Tampa.
Also, when Brady and Breeze were born in the mid-20s.
That's right. That is back in the mid-20s. By the way, but here's the thing. They're texting each other all week.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Tell me about this. I saw you put that in the rundown of the show, and I didn't Google it because I wanted you
to tell
me the story.
Thank you for this opportunity. Okay. Here, I'm gonna set you up. No, they're texting. Breeze pointed out yesterday or the day before, they've been texting all week. He didn't say what they were texting, but maybe the end of the Bridgerton finale. I don't know what the hell they're texting about. By the way, the other thing is, didn't Tom Brady toss his phone in the trash when he got busted for Deflategate? I didn't know he got a new cell phone. This should be bigger news. But no, honestly, I don't like them texting. I don't like it before the game.
How I normally take the, like, you guys are babies about wanting guys to hate each other I'm with you in this case. I think that admitting that you are texting the other team's quarterback is absolutely insane. I think that is, what are you doing? Telling them your game plan? What are you saying? Like, good luck. Can't wait to see it. Like, that to me, it's like, okay, you can text other times during the week. But I mean, maybe only if it's Brady and Breeze, though. If other guys did it, I'd probably be like, that's fine.
Really? I mean, I don't think that it's going to disrupt. I figure they're going to go out there and give it 100%, right? That's the cliche, whether they're texting or not.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's going to affect the play. I just think it's weird.
Yeah, and I imagine most of the coaching staff doesn't like, they won't say as much, but they
can't love this. Unless they're playing mind games.
Is that what they're doing?
It could be that they're really trying to get in each other's heads in subtle passive aggressive ways, which I think is kind of interesting.
Hey, well, Drew, my arm's really
sore. We'd
have to
see the texts themselves, I guess. I hope they're not texting during the game, right? Can they put the phones down during the game at least? I don't know what's too much to ask anymore. What were you saying, Dave?
Maybe it's a head game. Like, hey, Drew, bad news for me. My arm is sore, and I don't think I'm going to be able to throw any deep balls this weekend. So just be on the lookout for that. Yeah, it's gross. And, you know, we got to get Sal, your beloved WWE. Maybe you should blow in a call to your pal, Gewirtz, or one of those guys who helps create these narratives for pro wrestling. We need to inject some of that. This is not good. Come on, Kamish Goodell. Step in here. Silence this. The worst part of it is that the sheep fans out there kind of go, like, I like that. Respect. Like, what do you care, Gary, from Altoona, PA, about the respect they have for each other?
They should hate
each other. I only want expressions of hatred and despisal. And all this hand-wringing about Chase Claypool said that the Browns were mean. Yeah, I love that if you're a Browns fan to be like, ha ha, the Steelers are crying. I love from the Steelers side that, like, establishing the Browns are jerks. This is all good. What isn't good is, hey, respect. Screw that.
I don't like it either.
Anytime I go to Altoona, I never tell Gary I'm in town.
Really? That's smart.
That's why. It's kind of crap.
See, yeah, Gary?
You did this to yourself, Gary.
This isn't working for you, Gary. Listen, text after the game. Go to Cabo together. I don't care.
Gary, get over yourself, man.
Have sleepovers, Tampa Breeze, whatever you want to do. Not before the game. Don't do it.
Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan didn't want to get arrested in a car late at night, burning tree and drinking booze together. They just happened. Johnny Law happened upon them, and it was to the disgrace of WWE. They didn't announce that they were going out, smoking pinners, driving around in their car under the cloak of night. It just happened to him. This is announcing that that's what's happening. Shame the devil.
Yeah, shame the devil. Shame you, Gary from Altoona. How dare you?
All right. And you, Drew Brees.
No more texting.
I'll say this, though. Let me just say one thing quickly. Doesn't it feel like on a human level, of course, professional athletes are, you know, chicken or the egg because they are imbued with superhuman physical traits. They then have great confidence, or they have great confidence, and that's what takes them to the professional ranks. Either way, it feels like a big spot for a normal human being to say, I'm going to retire as soon as I lose. That's a lot of pressure on Drew Brees, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Like, if he loses this game, it's over. Doesn't it feel like when you're in the huddle in the fourth quarter in a 4-point game, like, oh my God, this could be my last drive. Do you want that banging around your head along with, like, we also need to drive down the field here and score? Yeah.
I feel like, though, on some level, maybe, you know, saying it, I feel like you'd know it no matter what, right? On some level. It's like you...
Yeah, especially if you...
You could try to lie to yourself, but it's like Drew Brees is probably... He's done.
If you have a commitment to be a broadcaster next year, I guess you would know.
Who's he with? Is he NBC?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. It's we've heard rumblings about this, but...
Was that not official?
We don't know for sure. Is it? I guess when he retires, is it's official that he has a job when he retires. So the when is the big question. But yeah, Dave, to bring it back to wrestling, it's like a loser leaves town match. A lot of pressure on the competitors here. Hey, no pressure for FanDuel bettors. Do it. Same game parlay bet, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Same game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional playoff round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all in one. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. I mean, this is craziness. Right now, you could place a 3 or more same game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with the same game parlay insurance. What about this, Dave Charlotte? This is a participation trophy. You don't even have to win your parlay anymore. You can go 3 out of 4 and they'll still give you your money back. I don't know. Does this send
As someone
the right
who
message?
Got a lot of participation trophies, I'm all for it.
You're all for it. All right.
Mm-hmm. Playoffs. I'm of the soft millennial generation where everybody got a medal.
You got Charlotte's vote, FanDuel. Playoffs, perfect time to give a same game parlay a shot. One of the many ways to win on FanDuel. Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. And they have odds boosts, specials every day, some super boosts each weekend, live betting. I don't know what more to say about it other than just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up to get started, use our promo code Extra Points at sign up. That's promo code Extra Points. If you are a current customer, then you're all set. Go check out Same Game Parlays, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Couple coaching moves overnight. Urban Meyer, actually middle of the day yesterday, named the head coach of Jacksonville. He was an FS1 co-worker. I used to sit next to him. Now, I don't know that we'll be doing this anymore, Charlotte, but we used to get makeup next to each other.
Well, never say never. You know how you could have a boys' night.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have in their trailers and their riders, like, I know, hey, I'm going to be coaching Jacksonville, but maybe he says once a week I want to hit the FS1 studios and get makeup next to Cousin Sal. Not necessary, but I feel like he's in a good position to ask for something like that. Does this put more pressure on him and the Jaguars to draft Justin Fields, who he coached at Ohio State? Or is Trevor Lawrence still the
number one? No, he didn't
one?
Coach him at Ohio State, I don't think. Did he?
Oh, right. No. But he's still an Ohio State guy. Yes, right. Big Ohio State guy, was lurking in the stands, choosing between Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence is going to be
I didn't think about that, huh?
Nah, I don't know what to do.
He's not going to take Justin Fields. It's not like that was his guy anyway. I'm sure he had a hand in getting Justin Fields
big
to
Justin
Ohio
Fields
State.
Guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like they had a direct overlap there in Columbus. So I don't think that's as big a story as people are trying to make it. It's Trevor Lawrence, and that's that.
Trevor Lawrence. All right. Number one, Jacksonville. Our buddy, Ross Tucker, said, now this is really thinking down the road, if Urban Meyer wins the Super Bowl with Jacksonville, is he the greatest coach of all time?
Wow.
That's saying a lot.
What?
Sorry, Belichick. All your accomplishments are kicked to the curb.
Come on, man.
Because Urban Meyer came in with the number one pick, who's the quarterback of the next generation.
Ross, you said that? What?
Ross is starting trouble. But it's a big if anyway.
Ross, you trying to grind my gears, man?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Bill Belichick now. We've proven that now.
Oh, Tom Brady. One season without your best players doesn't mean you're not the... What?
He's not.
No.
Bill Belichick will have to have a huge third act, or not a huge third act, but he's going to have to do something.
Oh, no.
That evidences
that's
his
garbage.
Greatness without
that's
Tom
garbage.
Brady.
Well, why?
It's not garbage. I mean,
did Bill Walsh have to do it without Montana?
That's an interesting comparison.
Thank
there.
You.
I don't know. There are those who would. We never got the evidence. I guess we kind of did see Joe Montana on a different team, but we never were provided the evidence of what Bill Walsh's Niners look like with a different
right.
QB. We've now seen Tom Brady leave there, go and succeed, and Bill Belichick fall on his face in the 1 year. And the cheating scandals are not a small matter. They are the people. Should we asterisk this season or that? Whether we put a formal asterisk on these things, society, the collective judgment is that those titles are asterisked. At least the early ones are. And that's that. I want to ask you, though, Sal, about Urban Meyer. It's fascinating. Everybody who he touches, figuratively,
yeah, gets COVID.
Seems to love this guy.
Right.
People talk about like this is the greatest leader I've ever been around, yourself included. But all the songs being sung in the last 24 hours by his FS1 coworkers and everything, like everybody's like, man, this guy is magic to be around. What is it with Urban Meyer? I've never met him.
I will say, once in a while, he would in the makeup chair look up from his phone and nod to me. So I've spent time
with Urban Meyer.
It's the only magic I experience. No, it seems like a nice enough fellow. So I don't know. He has said the number one overall pick will be one of the most important decisions he makes in his lifetime. So he really
hung out with Urban Meyer at spent some time
makeup?
At
a and
no at an SI Super Bowl party a few years ago. And he had his
what
own
was he
phone
like?
Number. He had his own phone number written on the back of his cell phone.
Oh, really?
Strange.
Yeah. He was like, I can't remember my phone number.
Maybe that's why he was looking down and barely said hi to me. But no, nice enough. I get it. Rob Stone, I enjoy very much. And it's like, wow, this is what a tremendous Matt Leinart, all these guys. Tremendous honor to spend even this one season with Coach Meyer. So there you go.
History's against him, though. There's Michael David Smith had a good tweet about that. I'm surprised it's such a small group of guys who have no experience in the NFL coaching or playing, mm-hmm. who then go on to be head coaches. And only Jimmy Johnson, your pal, Sal, succeeded. There may be 8 or 10 other names of guys who have done, who have tried to make that jump and fell on their faces. So history is against Herb, that's for sure.
Well, there's definitely a little coaching carousel here, and this is, you know, it's to be expected. I feel bad, Charlotte. Robert Saleh took the Jets head coach job from you. I mean, you had said Wednesday that's the job you would have wanted, and now it's not up for grabs. I'm sorry. The Detroit Lions, you had the interview. It didn't go so well. I guess there's a different standard with the Jets. Like, yeah, whatever. Just got your Zoom works. You seem to have a nice connection. Just try to help us out.
Anything's going to be better for the Jets. So they're just like, yeah, let's make. No, I don't think I think it's a good hire. I think.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. We'll see how.
Well,
this
he stole
goes.
Your job. You're crestfallen. I get it. You can't move. The
that's
family
true. That's
to,
true. I do think I would have done a great job coaching the Jets. Yeah. I do. Darnold, we would have had a real connection. He's a young quarterback, and I could have really, you know, helped him become a man. So.
Robert Saleh, you know, they get Mosley back, CJ Mosley next. People forget. That was, I stupidly had the Jets to win the division when we had nothing to do but do these digital hits on online. And it's me, it was Rachel, Clay Travis, and Todd Furman. And in April, like, who's going to win the AFC East? I think I was saying the Jets. And that was before they traded their best, two of their three best players were gone. CJ Mosley opts out and Adams is traded. But anyway, it could be not an awful team. Yes, an awful team he's going to, but there are pieces in place for him.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He did do, obviously, some great work with second-tier players down the stretch with that Niners defense, you know, some key figures out there. So that gives you some confidence. I'm always very skeptical of guys who are loaded with talent. You know, Saleh was getting a lot of buzz a year ago because that Niners D was so great. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, how bad could it be with the pieces they have in there? I don't know, man. I think I just did it on our most recent show before this, that I kind of like the idea of a guy who really knows how to scheme defenses against all these dynamite offenses in pro football and then bring in an innovative OC to work with your good young QB, and that's maybe the right formula.
Well, look at Bill Belichick.
That's now
so many years like that. Yeah.
That's the whole AFC East now. They're all AFC. They're now all defensive head coaches in the AFC. I don't know what's right. I mean, like Kyle Shanahan, I get it now what the next thing is. Great, good hire. You better get some great OC though to work with Sam Darnold or Justin Fields or however that one lands.
Heard about him that I heard this many times and it always makes me laugh. He's a leader among men.
That's right. And also he lifts. This continues the trend of lifting head coaches now, like really jacked up. Mike Vrabel, Sean McVay, Robert Saleh. I mean, really some.
I thought that was just
does
the
Robert Saleh do planks on the sidelines though?
He might.
That's the Vrabel standard.
He might have to do it just to take his mind off of what's on the field there.
They say endorphins make you happy, and I feel like if you're coaching the Jets, that's the only way you're going to feel joy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hire Greg Williams back too to help out. NBA, as we went off mic Wednesday, James Harden got his wish. He was traded to the Nets. I don't know what your take is. Mine is that the NBA is dumb. The Nets, the poor Rockets are now 120-1 to win the NBA title. The Nets are +320. We don't know what, and then there's the whole thing about Kyrie Irving. He has said, or we've heard, that he may not finish the year with the Nets, which is interesting because Durant would have come to Brooklyn if not for Kyrie being there, getting the okay there. And now he's here, but he gets James Harden by accident. I don't know what to think. This is craziness. This doesn't happen in any other sport or any other job or anything. But if you complain and gain 30 pounds, eventually you'll find yourself in a better situation.
The Rockets didn't want to deal with him. It was impossible to deal. He said that his own team sucked. You know, right. I still worry that something's going on with Kyrie, that he's having like a real come apart. But I do think that now, I thought the Nets would make it to the finals, and now I don't really see how this is all going to work. I mean, it could. There, you know, you've got three superstars, assuming that Kyrie comes back, but I could also see it just absolutely imploding, because so far, two of these guys have really made trouble for their own teams. So
sure, yeah, and you know what it is with me? I think it bums me out more when it happens in the middle of the season. If Harden did this in the offseason, granted the offseason was like 4 days this year,
right?
But if he did it in the offseason, I would have been like, all right, that sucks, but at least they didn't start things. I don't know. It just seemed crazy to quit on it that early. It same kind of thing with Jalen Hurts pulling him mid game. Like, if the Eagles had said they're going to lose, tank this game going in, I would have been all right. But James Harden doing this. And now Joel Solomon has a list, Dave, of all these restaurant reviews. His restaurant in Houston is getting trashed by people online. Joel, what is this? This is Google? This is Yelp, or this is Google? What is this?
This is James Harden's restaurant 13. It hasn't opened yet. That's really the key.
It's here. Never opened, or it's closed because of the
pandemic.
He started
a restaurant in Houston, first of all, what?
And then took off.
It will be open January 22nd, but right. the reviews are already in. So I literally have done everything that I can. I mean, this situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed. One star. The owner abandoned his restaurant just like his team. One star.
Mm.
The owner kept coming to my table and blaming it on the chef. We even got a new chef in the middle of our dinner. Then he got rid of him before dessert. One star.
Mm.
This one isn't terrible. It started strong, but really disappointing ending to the meal. One star.
Well, I get a kick out of this. Yeah. But
my soup has some beard in it.
Right, exactly.
One star.
Nobody.
Everybody should go. Everybody within the sound of our voices should go there and add some stars to, or add some reviews to that, so we can read them.
It's also
in future
a pandemic.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go to. Was it Google? What?
It's a pandemic.
It's a Google profile, and you'll know it's the right page because there's a picture of a burning toilet.
Give some good reviews for Extra Points podcast on the James Harden restaurant review.
Yes,
page.
Do and then, it.
We could
That's
read
a good idea.
A couple of those, and that'll be fun. We get a kick out of this, but does James Harden give a shit if this restaurant goes under? Honestly,
I can't wait for him to try to open one in Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the
Charlotte's
guy,
right.
He knows
Charlotte's
good food.
Right. That's a good review right there from Charlotte. Yeah, and 13, call it 19, COVID-19. That's who opens a restaurant and then abandons town and disgraces the team? Like, I don't think that restaurant has great prospects.
Also, right. what are they going to do? Take out? I mean, I guess it's Texas, so everybody goes out to dinner anyway. But like, come on,
man, the food better be really, really good for it to succeed.
Yeah,
imagine like hate eating there. Man, I hate James Harden, but man, this pork chop is delicious.
But this cacio e pepe is incredible.
Dave, if Baker opened the restaurant in Pittsburgh, it wouldn't do very well.
You know what? I'm not ready to laugh yet. There's some things that aren't funny.
There's some things that aren't funny.
If it was a baked good shop in Pittsburgh, right outside of Heinz Field. Yeah. I can get only about 30% of the way to forming a joke in my brain.
I got you. I'm sorry.
Feelings That's are too
I
raw.
I could take it the rest of the way if you want.
Go ahead, please do. By all means.
No.
Charlotte, same kind of thing. If Tom Brady opened a cafe in Bubble Rock at this point.
Tom Brady already has TB12.
That's true.
You know, all over the place. In Boston, people are more into Tom Brady in Boston still than I am. So.
Unbelievable. He's too busy texting Drew Brees to think about a restaurant.
Put
right
your
now.
Phone down, Tom. Don't be such a millennial.
Oh, that reminds me, Tom. I wanted to announce to you guys, because this is important. I don't know if you can play the Uniformant music. Not to be vain,
no way.
but But I do mm-hmm. have an announcement to make about what we don't want to have happen.
What is
in this upcoming Super Bowl? It is
Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant. Dave Damashek, the uniformant.
Based on uniform, the worst Super Bowl, it would be great from the narrative side, but in terms of uniform matchup, the Bucks, who would have home field jerseys because mm-hmm. it's the NFC's turn, if they wore their red with their pewter pants against the Chiefs in their red pants, hideous. The one of
that's the worst one.
One of the three ugliest Super Bowls in the history of the big.
You should do this at least as a poll or something and put odds on each one, like the for best and worst. And yeah,
I'm gonna do it on FanDuel. Okay, I'll do it on the Yelp review for James Harden's restaurant.
There you go. Dave's got Yelp reviews. He's got -3. He's at Damashek. What else can you tell us about yourself?
That's it. It's a great episode with Eric Wood of the Buffalo Bills breaking down that game. And we do deep dives on all four, of course, because there are only four left this weekend. And then who knows? But do check that one out. Also, Eddie Spaghetti and Michael debut our new little hockey corner. We need a name for that, by
the way. Hockey corner. I love it.
Yeah, we got a nice little hockey corner with our Islanders and Rangers friends
now,
there.
Michael took round one as the Islanders obliterated. I didn't even see the final of that score, but it was 4-0.
4-0 is where it finished.
Into the third. Oh, boy.
I mean, in all time, they're already calling it because the division only plays within the division, which I love philosophically. That's so fun for a season of hockey. But they're calling them divisions of death already, much like mm-hmm. the World Cup. And boy, oh boy, that one, whatever dumb Mass Mutual or whatever sponsorship it has. I mean, it is going to be 56 games head to head. Every game is a 2-game swing, of course, because you lose. You've right. just given up 2 points to your rivals. It's going to be and so many good teams in that division. Fun.
Well,
-3 to get into
services it. The Northeast and the East Coast and all good sports going on there. And
that's Dave the division that we're looking at. So, right.
To put Eddie Spaghetti and Mike, what are we calling it, Jim Cunningham? You like spaghetti and meatballs? That's what you want to call
it? Yeah, Mikey Meatballs. Eddie Spaghetti and Mikey Meatballs. Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Maybe it's the S&M. The S&M special? I don't know. We're getting too gross.
I'm into
there.
It.
Spaghetti. Drop us a line. Hashtag it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
-3. Let us know. At -3 pod. Let us know what the little hockey corner should be called.
Spaghetti. That was before the show. I can't even remember. Spaghetti was saying before the show that the Rangers are
Eddie.
Definitely winning a cup in the next 3 years, but
no,
definitely
he said
not this
no,
year.
No, guaranteed, Sal. Guaranteed a cup within 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm confident enough that I'm going to count this year as part of the 3 years because it's a building year. They're okay. going to get a lot better. Yesterday was miserable. I already have friends calling for David Quinn, the head coach's head. It's game one of a COVID offseason. It's like, you got to relax. But me figuring out how to stream this game, getting on there, and just to see goal after goal after goal. But again, I told Michael, the Rangers are going to lose this game. I like the Islanders this season. They're the better team. And they were going to win that game last night.
Michael, he told you that? I mean, what's the point of this segment if Eddie's already given up on this year, year one of the three?
Well, we got 7 more to go, so we gotta see how it goes from there.
Yeah, pace yourselves. All right, Charlotte, you're at the Wilder Things, People's Podcast, so much shit
yep.
going on.
Just a bunch of all the content. at the Wilder Things, the People's Sports Podcast, please listen to it. I went down a really embarrassing Nick Saban's daughter's wedding rabbit hole on the internet you can hear about.
Oh, nice.
I have a video, one of those recap things I do coming out that should really upset Pats fans. So that should be fun.
Good.
And yeah, just, stick around for the content.
There you go. You said you got it out. I knew you would.
Why is it so hard for me? The plugging part, I'm like, ugh.
I got this whole thing with the reminder and a remember thing in about 10 seconds. I got that I'm really freaking out about.
Yeah. I got one.
Yeah.
Buy Sal's book.
Yeah, buy my Ooh. Book. Thank you very much. You can't lose them all. Available for pre-order. It comes out January 26th. Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And more importantly, I probably shouldn't say more importantly, but don't forget to get in on our extra points for extra pay. Parlay FanDuel is boosting this to plus 470. It's the Ravens plus 3.5. It's the Bucks plus 4.5 and the Browns plus 11. Do it. FanDuel.com/extra points. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Monday.